Welcome to the Rage Podcast. We hope that you find this week's message encouraging.
All right, let's be honest for a minute. How many of you guys have ever failed at something before? All right. Yes. There's a few of us in this room who are like, yes, I have made some mistakes. I have failed from time to time. When I've made a mistake, or maybe I'm just feeling like bad about my existence, there's this website that makes me feel great called PinterestFails.com. I absolutely love it. And I'd like to share some of my favorite ones with you tonight. So what Pinterest Fails is it's a website of things that people have seen on Pinterest that they try to recreate. For example, throw the first slide up. This is a Harry Potter themed cake of awesomeness. It looks super good. There's all these cool colors in there. And somebody tried to recreate it, and this was their result. So I think you get the idea. Fail. Let's do the next one. This wonderful, beautiful string light globe thing that you would put outside, and it looks really pretty and decorative, and all the girls are like, I want this at my wedding. Well, you can make it to look just like this. Oh, yeah. That one looks like something from Star Trek. Let's hit the next slide. For all of you Lord of the Rings fans, Origami Nazgul, and it comes out like this. It's like a horse bathtub with like a sheet hanging out of the end of it. I don't remember that from any of the trilogy. But maybe, you know, it's possible. All right, this next one's actually my favorite. Cute baby. It's all sweet. It's nice. And this is the result. Oh, yeah. That poor kid will never live that down. Graduation, when they ask for a baby photo, you can bet that sucker's going to be up there. I like that the price tag's still on the rug, too. And his eyes are open. He's like, I am stuck here, and I can't walk yet. This is my life. This website just makes me happy. It really does. Well, we've all made mistakes from time to time, and sometimes the mistakes we make, the failures that we have, can follow us. For example, when I was working at a place called Titan, we worked on heavy equipment, and I came out of the auto industry being a mechanic, so I was really used to working on cars and not on equipment with booms that go high in the air, and I really don't care for heights in the first place. So there's this piece of equipment called a 10K telehandler. It means it's capable of lifting over 10,000 pounds, and it's an off-road fork truck that booms out like 40 feet. This thing is just insanely powerful. It's got a super fast top speed of 23 miles an hour, and the tires are about this tall. It's just a beast of a machine. And so we were in a hurry. I was there about 3 days, still kind of learning what these things are. They're like, grab that machine, pull it in, get it ready to go out. And I'm like, all right, I hop in, I fired it up, and I'm like, whoa, yeah. Throw it into drive and floor it towards the shop, and our truck driver's like, no, running and waving his arms, and I'm like, I got this. With the boom in the air, right into the side of the shop. And these things are strong enough that it literally caved in the upper portion of the roof. And so every time it would rain, there was this like 4-foot indentation going into the building that would just pour down. And my entire career at Titan, they affectionately called it Sorgat Falls. Fail. In fact, after I'd left there, I was working at a parts store for a while, and a guy came in that was fixing a roof at a local place and needed some roofing tar, and we happened to have it. And I'm like, where are you working? He's like, oh, down the road at Titan. Some guy ran into the side of the building with a 10K a couple years ago. I'm like, that was me. My mistake followed me. I don't know if they ever even did fix the thing right or not, but it's probably still there today. I should call him and find out. We all make mistakes from time to time. We all fail at things. Maybe it's that test that you failed and you're like, I tried but just didn't make it. Maybe it's an entire class. Maybe you failed an entire class or you're on a sports team and you didn't win. What's the opposite of winning? Losing. It happens. That's what life is about. Not everybody can be winners, I'm sorry to tell you. You win and you lose. This everybody's a winner thing. You guys got to get over it, okay? Just get over it. Maybe you failed in some decisions that you've made. Maybe you've made some really poor decisions lately, and you're suffering some consequences from them. Maybe it's with your friends, whether you've maybe fallen short on your end of what it means to be a good friend, or your choice in friends that are negatively affecting you. Maybe it's failure in some goals that you have, career-wise or otherwise. Maybe it's just like, I want to wake up in the morning without looking like that baby on the rug, and it's not happening. Goals. Well, often in our world, unfortunately, society tends to remember our failures over the things that we've done right. Our failures can follow us. The mistakes can go with us, whether we like it or not. But I want to tell you tonight, your failure does not define your future. I am not defined by the 4-foot dent, like 4-foot inward dent I left into the side of a building. You're not defined by your failure, but what you do with your failure will define your future. So tonight, we're in a series called Will You? Will You? And the heart of Will You is to ask heart questions that bring you closer to Jesus. And so the question that I want to post tonight is, will you turn your failure into freedom? Will you turn failure into freedom? Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for every person who's in this room tonight. God, I ask that as we dive into your word, into a time of teaching of what your scripture says, God, I pray that those of us who follow you will learn what it means to be an authentic follower, what it means to live this thing out. And God, for those who are here that don't know you or have relationship with you, God, I pray that they will learn something from us tonight. And if they ever choose to do that, to enter into relationship with you, then they'll simply know how to live already. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, open up to Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61, one of the coolest passages in Old Testament scripture. I apologize for the size of the font on the screen, but if you brought your own Bible, you don't have to worry about it. Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 7. As you're turning there, I just want to elaborate a little bit on what this passage is. Isaiah 61, and the whole book of Isaiah is actually what's called a prophetic book. And now it means that there's prophecy within it. And prophecy is simply just something that was told would happen before it happens. And the coolest part about this is Isaiah 61, actually the whole book of Isaiah, was written about 700 years before Jesus came to earth. And it speaks about his life, his ministry, about how he'd die before crucifixion was even invented. Isaiah speaks of it. And it's just an amazing, amazing piece of scripture that shows things that were to come. And then we see it fulfilled in the New Testament through the life of Jesus. And so in light of that, this passage is talking about Jesus and his ministry 700 and some years before it even happens. Just amazing. Isaiah 61, 1 through 7. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom from captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance for our God, or of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Strangers will shepherd your flocks, foreigners will work your fields and vineyards. And you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations and the riches, and in their riches you will boast. Instead of your shame, you will receive a double portion. Instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance. And so you will inherit a double portion in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. Jesus stood up in Luke chapter 4 in a synagogue and read this passage, folded it up, basically mic dropped. He said, this is fulfilled today. This whole passage, this prophecy in Scripture, speaks to failure. speaks to failure. Think about the things that it's talking about in there, the poor and the brokenhearted, those who are captive, those who are prisoners, trapped in darkness, mourners, ashes, something destroyed and burnt up, not even worth having, people who are mourning and in despair, places long devastated, cities that have been ruined, devastation of generations, shame and disgrace. These are all failures. These are all letdowns. These aren't joyful things. But as you read back through that, it speaks of binding up those who are brokenhearted, for freedom to come from prisoners, for light to come into dark places, for comfort to be provided, for a crown of beauty to come out of destruction, and things long desolate and gone to be rebuilt and renewed, and for God's people to be blessed through the coming of Jesus. This entire prophecy relates to failure. And it speaks to the character of God. Your failures don't define your future. Not for a follower of Jesus. He has good plans for us. He doesn't let us down. And I want you to understand that even in your worst failure, the biggest mistake you could have ever possibly made, Jesus is still bigger than it. And he can turn it into freedom. He can turn it into praise. He can turn it into an opportunity to help others who have journeyed through something similar. And so tonight, as we go through this together, I just want to break down two truths. The first truth being, you are not defined by your failures. You're not defined by your failures. You're not defined by your parents' failures, your grandparents'. You're defined by who Jesus says you are. Now, I want you to understand something. Some of the greatest heroes of the faith were some of the biggest failures that have walked this earth. They're just like me and you. They made mistakes, and some of them really huge ones. But you've got to understand, God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. So if he's called you to something, it doesn't matter what your ability is. What matters is his ability is larger than that, because he will place in you what you need to do it. Let's go ahead and hit the lights and grab that video.
All right, next up, King David.
Thanks for coming, King David. What qualifies you to be our next small group leader?
Well, what was that word you used before my name?
King?
Yeah, King, right. How many of those am I up against?
My strengths. Plagues. I'm pretty good with the staff.
Can't decide who gets the last brownie? Cut it in two. Boom. Wisdom.
Parting large bodies of water. Desert survival skills.
Weaknesses.
Weaknesses. Mountain climbing. Commandment retrieval.
Does that look weak to you?
And I can make a pretty mean goat sausage.
Okay, I mean, maybe haircuts, women, whose isn't?
So I lied. I said my wife was my sister. They were gonna kill me. Why are we even getting into this?
I'm just not sure we're comfortable with you in a leadership position.
Look,
Jesus Christ himself called you Satan.
He was trying to make a point.
Get thee behind me, Satan, I believe is the exact quote.
Bathsheba, I knew you were gonna go there.
It was a rock to the back of the head. I really regret that it happened.
And that's when you slept with the maid?
My wife said she was fine with it.
Abraham.
What?
Come on.
Okay, timeline. First I slept with his wife.
No. I didn't kill Christians.
Then I lied to him.
I was just watching people's coats.
Then I had him killed, okay?
They killed Christians.
It's a long time ago.
Besides, that was a different guy. That was Saul.
I've never killed anyone. What? You got somebody giving you beef? Huh? You need something taken care of? Where's the app? Yo, bring it, huh?
Didn't you deny Christ 3 times?
No.
Nah, I'm pretty sure you did.
No.
Yeah, I'm almost positive.
No. Okay, I did.
No, never killed anyone. Why would you even ask that question?
This is the guy.
Hold on, I mean, I do have some questions about my qualifications. I've never been to seminary.
Oh, you'll do fine.
I really don't have a whole lot of experience.
Do you love God?
Yeah.
Do you want to help people?
Sure.
Do you have a harem?
No, I don't have a harem.
All right, we're good then. Thank you.
is.
Let me think about this. Perfect.
Oh, wait a second. Look who has them. Still got the tablets.
What's amazing about that is how much truth is in there. Is if we were to look at biblical heroes of the faith, and if they were qualified to be in ministry or leadership positions, we wouldn't hire them, we wouldn't elect them. Maybe to politics, but not to leadership positions within the church. Think about Moses, he murdered a man. Now you look at King David, adultery and murder, those are some huge things. Solomon had several hundred wives and concubines in addition to that. Peter denied Jesus. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. Samson was just a mess his entire life. God uses unqualified people who have failed. He's not looking for perfection in your life. He's simply looking for a heart that's honest. He's looking for a heart that will submit the failures before him to say, here it is, Lord. Even Jesus' disciples weren't qualified. Most of them would have been too old to be considered an apprentice of a rabbi or a disciple. They would have been overlooked by the other rabbis, not smart enough, not intelligent enough, not from the right social circles to be able to be under a calling like that. But Jesus chose them anyways, because he's not looking for your qualifications. He's not looking for all the great things you've done, because you can never earn it on your own. He's looking for that honest heart that says, Jesus, I need you. Our world defines us by what we can't do, our limitations, our failures, our shortcomings, our issues, our dysfunction. Jesus defines us by what he can do, his victory on the cross and his plans for our life. Not what the world says, his plans. Your failures can turn into freedom if you'll just simply hand them over to Jesus. Say, Lord, I can do nothing with these. I've made a mess of this. But you're king. Use them as only you can, and he will. Second truth I want to talk about tonight is you do not have to try to fix your failures before knowing Jesus. Don't have to try to fix your failures before knowing him. And Romans 5:8 tells us that God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It doesn't say that he asked us to clean ourselves up and then we were able to work out most of our past failures and make amends for just about everything and achieve almost perfection, and then he died. It says, while we were still in our failure and our dysfunction and our messes, our imperfection, our inadequacies, our unqualifications, he died for us. We can't earn it. Jesus paid the price to have relationship with us, knowing we could never earn it. I want you to understand he loves you in your failures. He loves you in your mess, but he has called you into freedom because you are not defined by those. We don't have to try to clean up first. That's why he did what he did on the cross. We can never attain it on our own apart from him. That's why he did it. There's nothing you could ever do good enough to earn favor with God. But while you were still a sinner, while I was still a sinner, he died for us. He gave us what we didn't deserve. He gave us freedom. What I want you to understand is he meets us where we are. He meets us where we are. You don't have to clean up first. He will meet you where you are. Will you allow God to turn your failures into freedom? We've all made mistakes. We've all fallen short. Will you allow those failures to become freedom? I want you to understand, no matter what sin you face or what struggles you have had in your life, what failures you've experienced or walked through, they do not define you. You are not defined by that, because Jesus has adopted you into his family. He has called you holy and righteous. He has purchased you at a price, a very high price, a price of worth. Will you turn your failure into freedom? You do that through laying your failure down before Jesus which really is laying down all of yourself. Because no matter what we do on our own, falls short of the standards God has. But if you submit your life to Jesus, if you say, Lord, just take it and be king over it, he will turn that into freedom.
Thanks for joining us for our podcast today. If you'd like more info on us, you can find us on the web at www.ragestudentmin.com or follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/ragestudentministries.